Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jeff in Kingston Springs texting in. Who knew that a local district would one day have a future MLB MVP in Mookie Betts, a future Cy Young winner in Robbie Ray, and a current major leaguer Tony Kemp and former Yankees catcher Corbin Joseph all at the same time? But the district MVP that year was my nephew, Connor Moore. Shout out. Way to go, Connor.
Shout out, Connor.
That's a story you can tell for a long time.
No doubt, right? That's pretty awesome.
Heidi from Dixon texting back in. Buy me calling minutes, and I'll call in and chew you out, Joey. Just kidding. Love y'all.
Call in.
You got to get Joey. Us some minutes.
I mean, you give me your Venmo, Heidi. My wife will Venmo you. We've already established this on the show. So, because I, you know, of course, I can't actually figure out Venmo myself, you know.
That does not surprise
me. Come on, Heidi. We want to hear you talk, Heidi. Hello, this is Heidi. It'd be like a computer-generated voice.
DJ texting in, the best is the Braves are World Series champs. The worst is Atlanta hasn't re-signed Freddie yet. I'm interested to see what happens with Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
I still have a gut feeling he ends up back in Atlanta, but when you get this deep into discussions, I mean, your usual suspects come around. The Yankees are going to get involved, and I'm sure the Red Sox will be making a phone call. Like, I'm sure all the maybe the Cubs, like the usual suspects, get in there. That can be a dangerous game. He just kind of feels like Mr. Brave to me. So I'm going to predict he goes back to the Braves.
Yeah, if not, boy, they botched that.
Yep, I would say so.
So real quick, TD, this is a good idea for by ESPN. What's your NFL team's most heartbreaking loss?
Of all time?
And, of course, the headline is from 28-3. We all know that one.
Oh, yeah.
To the Ice Bowl, which I assume would be the Cowboys against the Packers.
Yep.
Right? To the Drive. Oh, man. The Drive. Ask Mike Vrabel about that.
What is the most heartbreaking loss? I mean, it's got to be the Super Bowl, right, for the Titans, losing by a yard?
Unless it's unless it's the next year when they had the best team. And they make a bunch of mistakes and lose to an inferior team, which, of course, ends up winning it all. But you also know that you would have won it all if you kept it together and figured out a way to beat that. Anyway, again, Ravens, all-time great defense. So I'm not saying they're not a deserving Super Bowl winner, but I don't know.
It's got to be one of those two, right?
Probably one of those two. Because in 08, I know the other time the Titans got the bye. Hasn't gone well getting the bye.
It has not.
That's only two examples. You also lost to the Ravens in that game. But that team, that was not – I don't think I ever thought that year that that was the best team necessarily in the NFL. Certainly one of the contenders.
Well, they
great
started,
defense.
They started 10-0, and they went 3-3 down the stretch. You're like, okay. Maybe a little
still
bit more
got
of,
the one. Yeah. Still got the – beat the Steelers.
Great game.
But the 2000 team – I mean, to me, that was the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect build-up after – because, I don't know, I guess I'd like to hear what Titans fans think about that, because I hear what you're – like, it's obvious that you are 1 yard from going to overtime in the Super Bowl, and it's agonizing. And, you know, by the way, speaking of Floyd Reese, Jim Wyatt had a really good piece talking to Sally this week.
Yep.
At TitansOnline.com, and she talked about him watching that play over and over. You know, you think about if you're one of the people involved in that thing and just how close you were. So, I mean, that's a strong contender, but it's also like it's still also the high. It's like the high water point of the franchise history. You know, to get to the Super Bowl,
it is
to be right there.
I mean, I'm putting that at number one.
Yeah.
On heartbreaking. I mean, just
because you're so close to
yard.
Winning it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, everybody always says they were a yard away from winning the Super Bowl. They were a yard away from tying the Super Bowl. I don't know what would have happened after that, but.
Yard away from, yeah.
Jeff Fisher wasn't overtime. Going for two there.
Yeah.
It's not happening. And I think he said that since then. Dylan on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I can still see Algie Crumpler fumbling the ball on the goal line in 08. That was a tough one in 08. I'm sure Derek Mason enjoyed it, but that was a tough one in 08.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the mistakes in both of those games were big parts of it. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, it's like, how could it not be the thing where you are a yard away? And by the way, that is what TD chose for the Titans.
Yeah.
For the record, was the Super Bowl loss.
It's interesting. Like, I'm trying to think of some of these other teams. Like, what is the worst loss, the most heartbreaking loss in Jags history? It's got to be at the hands of the Titans, right? AFC title game? I guess it's got to be it.
Got to be.
Unless you want to throw Blake Bortles' Patriots in there.
That's true. They were right there to win that game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and you're 14-2. You're the best team, and you're like, and you get a chance. Now, they picked the other one. But you have a chance to get revenge on that team and take care of all family business.
Yeah.
And go on to the Super Bowl that you were supposed to play in, and you just get trounced.
Yeah. Like, I'm going through each team in the Titans division in my head. I guess the Texans would have to be when they just totally blew it against Kansas City a few years ago, when they were up 24-0 or whatever the score was in that game, and then Patrick Mahomes scored like 1,000 points in the second half of that game. I mean, there's not very many options for Houston, so that would be the one that comes to mind for them.
You nailed that one.
Indy? I don't know. I guess Super Bowl against the Saints?
The choice, and this is a very good choice, is the year, the 05 year, like Peyton, yeah. Incredible year. They were dominant, and they lost at home to young Roethlisberger and the Steelers.
That's a good one.
That's a killer, because that's a Super Bowl winning team. And there you go, another team that beat them ended up being the Super Bowl winning team.
Packers wins NFC title game against Seattle. It was awful.
Lions.
Yeah, what do they do?
A tremendous buffet of choices.
Yes.
But this is so dumb. This is terrible. Who did this? Eric Wood. Come on, Eric. Eric chose the Hail Mary that Aaron Rodgers threw a few years ago. Like
in a regular season game?
No.
No.
Hell no. Look, the easy choice is the same team. It's beating the Packers and Brett Favre to win the division, and then the next week outplaying them, and then just not covering Sterling Sharp. So Brett Favre can turn around and just say, oh, let me just arm punt it to him for the winning touchdown. That's got to be it. But, again, buffet of choices. This one says Packers actually against the loss to the Niners in the 99 wild card round. The catch two. Which was T.O., right?
Yes,
it was T.O., yeah. No?
No. Seahawks. I would put Tampa Bay last year was up there, too. I'm still not over that one.
That's a tough one.
See Kevin King in my nightmares. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, if the Texans beat the Chiefs, the Titans probably go to the Super Bowl that year. I'd say there's a pretty good shot. Texans hold on that lead. Titans probably in the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But it was only 24-0. And then Bill O'Brien with the fake punt. Oh, boy.
It is correct. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Keith from Bowling Green say the Colts, it's the Super Bowl against the Jets. Going all the way back to the Joe Namath days.
Yes, that's a good point. That was a shocking, and I don't remember what the line was. It was huge. Joe Namath, guarantees the.
Remember watching that game?
Yeah, I mean, I was taking my driver's test, so we listened to it on the radio mostly.
Yes.
But yeah, one thing about that is hilarious is like when Joe Namath guaranteed that, he was like. At like the hotel pool with a bunch of reporters hanging around him, like that was like media access back then. Like,
come on down.
I think Joe's down having some Mai Tais. Go. Yeah, you can go talk to him down there. Guarantees a victory, but that game shocking result. Of course, helped the NFL become what it is today because the AFL got respect.
Yeah, Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. Honorable mention for the Titans has to be the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. when you drop a double-digit lead twice. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it certainly was heartbreaking.
It's worth a
mention.
But
it's also like a, oh my goodness, we just made it to the AFC title game type story.
But yeah, but I mean, I think that's worth a mention because it's like the Super Bowl. You just can't count on getting back.
Yeah.
So when you have that opportunity, you know, you got to seize it. And obviously, it was a great comeback in the Super Bowl, first of all. I mean, McNair was so good in the second half of that Super Bowl. But then the Titans were in control, and they had everything working in the AFC Championship game. And then that, I mean, really, I mean, the Mahomes run was really the play.
I got to tell you, it says the Seattle Seahawks would definitely be Malcolm Butler's interception. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I mean, I'll look, but how could it be anything else? And the Falcons, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle Shanahan's a good coach, but my God, man, do the math.
I was walking around Disney World a few months ago, and there were two guys walking around Animal Kingdom with 28-3 shirts on. Thought said,
"Oh,
it's just 28-3." I was like, "Oh boy, this is still going on, huh?"
Yeah, the Seahawks. I don't need to read anything else. Like the first line, this is written by Brady Henderson. What else could it be?
Yes,
yeah, that's it. And again, Tom Brady. Hey, it's a ring on his finger. But let me tell you something. That guy was on the sidelines knowing he lost and then like, yes, yeah, like the dude won the lottery that day.
Here you are just taking things away from Tom Brady.
I'm not
again.
Taking anything away, but I'm just saying it's a team sport. And sometimes the other team is on your team.
It's the Pharaoh to you, Joe.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dennis on the text line. I thought the most heartbreaking loss was this year's Jets game. It set back the Titans for years. This is coming from Dennis on the text line.
That's true. It led to a terrible season, and maybe they'll get the number one overall pick, though.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. Make sure you play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week. For a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert, go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Tune in tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. for Floyd Reese, a true Titan, honoring the legacy of Floyd Reese as Titans general manager as he gets inducted into the Ring of Honor at Nissan Stadium coming up this Sunday. This special will feature some of the biggest names in franchise history who knew Floyd as well as anyone. Will be hosted as well by our good friend Jared Stillman. Tomorrow's tribute to Floyd Reese brought to you by Neighbors in Nashville. Neighbors is the best sports entertainment bar in Nashville with locations in Germantown, Sylvan Park, and coming soon to Franklin as well. And Joe, no, we're looking forward to that coming up tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Nah, it's going to be great. Very much looking forward to it. I know a lot of people, Jared has worked very hard on it, and it's going to be great. Also, I think Michelle is becoming a straight up Hall & Oates fan. I think it's pretty obvious.
Why wouldn't you be?
I really like that song, The Private Eyes.
It's a jam.
It's a little jammer.
Oh man. They got other jams.
Yeah, true.
So who'd you say got a like on Twitter the other day? Are you jealous that your top 10 Hall & Oates list did not receive the proper, I guess, recognition that you thought?
Well, that's okay. But Steve McGargy, Associated Press, who was, of course, been in Knoxville for a long time, wrote a whole bunch of Vols stories from Knoxville. He recently moved to Milwaukee. He responded to my list. He's a big – I mean, he went and, like, saw them in, like, you know, the 80s and stuff. But his list, which is a lot more deep cut than mine, like probably more of a real, genuine Hall & Oates fan than me, got liked by John Oates. John Oates gave him like, so McGargy sent me a DM, said, check it out. John Oates, you know, liked his reply. So kudos to you, Steve.
Rex was jealous.
A little bit. Why don't you like my list, John Oates?
That's right.
I've come to watch you play live.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHuntley.com, 615-737-1025. We're going through the most heartbreaking losses in teams' histories, and we talked about the Seahawks. It's got to be the Super Bowl. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. It can't not be the Super Bowl for the Seahawks, but the Hasselbeck saying, we'll take the ball and we're going to score, has to be up there for those fans, even though I still think it's hilarious to watch. Do you remember this? I do. It was awesome.
Remind me.
It's overtime in the playoffs between the Packers and the Seahawks, and the Seahawks win the toss. And Matt Hasselbeck says, we want the ball, and we're going to score into the microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
Then proceeds to throw a pick six, and they lose the game.
That's a toughie. It's not as much a toughie as Marty Morningweg, the Detroit Lions, saying, we'll take the wind in overtime. And then the Bears came right down and scored to win the game. We'll take the wind.
We'll take the wind. Appreciate you. Ron on the text line. I'm willing to bet that if we win the first round bye, that Henry will be back no matter what. At 70%, 80%, whatever, he'll be back. If we're close to that, it means re-injuring the foot, then I'm sure he would do it for a chance at a ring. You can heal in the offseason. What do you think of that? Derrick Henry, no matter what, he's coming back.
Well,
if the Titans get the first round bye.
I don't know. I wouldn't just completely count on that. I mean, I would count on every effort being made for him to be back. And like someone asked yesterday on the text line, like, what's the update on Derrick Henry? The update is when we get to the 6 week mark, then the bone will be observed. You know, like until then, like there's nothing to talk about. You have the foot in a boot or whatever, and you keep it elevated, and then you see how it goes. But if Derrick Henry is told, hey, this could really jeopardize your career, but you could win a ring, would he do it? I don't know. I guess I could see that happening, but I don't think that'll be the discussion. If he heals the ways that they hope and everything looks good, then it really is just like there's just an unknown to it that will be part of it. But and a doctor would say, and one I've talked to would say, like, look, you are certainly better off if you take 6 months off from this thing and come back rather than 10, 12 weeks. But does it mean that 10, 12 weeks is any different? It could be, you could be totally fine. It's also potentially problematic where the bone is. So that's a long way of saying, I don't know. A
lot that remains to be seen on that front with Derrick Henry. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jacob from Murfreesboro texting in, taking this discussion of most heartbreaking losses to Tennessee football. I can't decide between these games. 2011 in Death Valley against LSU, 09 in Tuscaloosa, 13 at home against Georgia, which was Pig Howard fumbling through the end zone, 2016 at USC Junior coming off the bye, and 2016 at Vandy, Kamara running out of bounds at the four or on fourth down. Needless to say, I could spend hours talking about different heartbreaking outcomes.
Well, what would you do?
Oh, man, there's a lot. The LSU game was bad.
That was they botched the goal line, right?
Yeah, they had 17 people on the field.
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, probably, was it 15? I think it may have been 15
Oklahoma?
In Florida.
Oh,
when
yes.
they had, it was like 4th and 22.
Ooh, yep.
All they had to do was get a stop. And they scored
a
touchdown.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'd probably put that one up.
I mean, there's also
top.
17 Florida.
Yeah.
Which was the end of Butch, pretty much.
I'd put 15 ahead of 17, but.
Because 15, you had a different kind of feel for the program. I think that mentioning the South Carolina 16 game is worthwhile, though, because, I mean, that's the East.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, you're playing at Vanderbilt to win the East if you don't lose that game, and you had no business losing that game. But you had no business losing the Vanderbilt game, and you did that, too.
To Jacob's point, there's a lot of different options you could go through for Tennessee football. Really, over the course of the last, I don't know, 12, 13 years, a lot of options on the table. Oh, it's not good.
Yeah, the Pig Howard game, too. I feel like it just seems like maybe college football there are more for the average fan base, but I could be wrong. Because in college football, like how many of these NFL games are really going to be regular season games?
Not many.
But in college football, how it has been is like it's so important.
Sure.
Every single game matters. That's what they always say, right? Like no more important regular season. Now, they're trying to mess that up by, you know, valuing stats over outcomes of games, but still, I feel like college football fans probably have more than NFL fans.
I would say so. What's Vanderbilt's most heartbreaking loss of all time? It's hard to pin one down.
I mean, I'm trying to think in the last few years, like anything that really stood out, because you know, like they beat Tennessee, but when they've lost to Tennessee, that's been pretty resounding recently.
Big rivals, you know, Joe.
Well, they are in-state rivals.
Yeah, they are in-state rivals.
It's been, you know, going into, was it going into last year? They were 5-5 with the exact same number of points scored over the previous 10 games.
Yeah.
You could, you actually can't get closer than that.
Tennessee fans' favorite stat.
Love that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, Vanderbilt fans? There's a lot. I mean, there's like the Florida game? Wasn't like the taunting penalty?
Oh, yeah.
With Earl Bennett, right? I mean, that's a killer. Shoot, I remember a loss at Florida with Derek Mason as coach where they had it. I mean, they had a really good Florida team beat, and they've had a lot. I mean, I know a Vanderbilt fan. I know some Vanderbilt fans who are like, I could write an absolute book on the games that have been squandered by this program over the years.
Yeah, I would say so. This is an interesting discussion. I think there's only two options for the Titans. I really do. I know people that we've gotten a couple of votes for the 08 championship game, a couple of votes for the game against the Chiefs. I think it's either the Super Bowl or the divisional round loss to the Ravens. Because I as good as that Super Bowl team was for the Titans, the next year's team was better. Like that 2000 team was loaded. And you cannot convince me if they beat the Ravens, they win the Super Bowl that year. I mean, the Giants, certainly in the NFC, they're not touching them in that game. The Titans played the Giants that year and absolutely tore them apart in that game. So they would have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd vote that just because the Super Bowl is still the Super Bowl, and they were the underdog in the Super Bowl, and they had a great showing. And you could walk away from that game still feeling like, man, obviously heartbroken, obviously. Sure. But also like, man, I'm so proud of my team. The next year, you built up to the best team in the league, and you couldn't feel good about anything from that game.
No.
So that's where I would go.
That's where the hatred of the Baltimore Ravens was really it just overflowed at that point.
And then payback finally came almost 20 years later, and then the Ravens got you right back last year. So maybe they'll meet again this year.
Payback a little less sweet when you then don't go on to win the Super Bowl like the Ravens did.
Yes, but...
But I hear you.
It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty good stuff. When we come back, we'll be joined by Preds radio analyst Hal Gill. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators as they'll take on Montreal coming up on Saturday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Thursday at this time, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. Hal, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Just taking in the sights and scene here in Montreal.
Sounds like a good time. So, Hal, we appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Hal, what did you make of the Predators and their performance the other night against Toronto? And, I guess, how do you expect them to bounce back as they try to move past that coming up on Saturday?
It was lackluster. It was, you can call it what it was. It wasn't a great game. It was a step backwards, probably. But I feel like they've been doing so many good things. And then you have that game against Arizona, which was just flat-out cakewalk. And so I kind of expected it to be tough to get geared back up into it. You know, you go from one game that's Arizona, an awful team, to Toronto. They played really well. They were fast. The forwards were aggressive. They were forechecking. They were reloading. There was no space or time, so I think the Preds got kind of sucked into that one a little bit. So, not their best performance.
So, good to have, you know, I mean, I think everyone would probably rather play a game tonight, but you, all of a sudden there are practices that are scheduled in place of that after a performance like that. Is that a good thing?
It's tough because sometimes you say, you know, like, hey, listen, you had a bad game. You want to get right back into another game and get on with it. Other times you say, well, you know, like, we had a bad game. Let's go work on some things. In the end, it is what it is, and you're stuck with the cards that were dealt. And I think if I was a player, I'd say the last thing I want to do is lose a game before I have 3 days straight of practice. So I think these skates are coming up today and tomorrow. You know, probably today it's going to be tough. It's going to be kind of a wake-up call, like, let's get back into gear, which might be the best thing for them, you know, is, you know, with this span of game, the game canceled in the span of days, maybe you can, you know, re-engage and get your head back into it.
Hal, obviously, you know, the game didn't go well, as you mentioned the other night. UC Saros was awesome in that game, has been awesome pretty much every time he's stepped foot on the ice so far this year for the Predators. How do you kind of put into words what you've seen from him this year? And, you know, if he keeps this up, I guess, where can he take this group with the way that he's been playing so far?
He gave him a chance. You know, like, I think Toronto is a better team, and Preds probably should have been blown out. It should have been, you know, 4-5 to nothing, and Juice kept him in it. I mean, like, that's what you want from a goalie. You want a chance to win every night, and Juice is going to give you that and then some. He's just been fantastic. The save he had on Matthews, you know, like, there's no way. That's you know, Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews are the two of the best scorers in the game, and he lined them up on a 2-on-1 and took the one-timer and with a huge glove save. Like, you're not supposed to make those saves. And so when he's giving you a chance every night to win and doing it that way, the sky's the limit for where he can take you.
You know, we've asked you about the young guys, you know, throughout the season, Hal. I did think in that game, maybe it's a little different if Philip Tomasino can cash in on a couple really nice opportunities. Wasn't able to do it, but he's getting those opportunities. He looks fast, maybe like he's, you know, gaining his footing and growing in confidence. What are you seeing from him right now?
Yeah, I'll agree with you 100%. And it is, you know, if he gets that one that goes off the post, a beautiful pass by Johansson, by the way, who I think has played really well with Tomasino, as well as Tanner Janot. I like that line, and if he gets that goal, I think you get an energy boost from the team, and it's a fine line between winning and losing. I think that was early in the game, and I think that changes everything. And I think the team gets a little more jump in their step, and it changes. So if you can get a guy like Tomasino to put those in, it means everything. So, but that goes up and down the lineup. You had the breakaway, and you just kind of lost the handle on it, and that's another chance for him to change the game. And so we're right there, and the fact that he's getting those chances, like you said, is everything. But if he can start putting them in, then that's when you see the whole team come around, and that's the difference maker that Tomasino could be.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Hal, I saw you and C-Mace breaking this down the other night, but for those who didn't get a chance to see it, what do you like about the power play that the Predators are working with right now? What do you think has been the difference of why they've been pretty effective so far this season on the power play?
Yeah, just the movement. And it's funny, talking to John Hines, he gives a lot of credit to Lambert just going through. You know, when you're coaching a power play, sometimes you say, all right, you guys are the best players. Go be creative. But you have to give them some sort of structure to go off of. And then you also want them to be fluid in the structure that you're giving them. And so now I think what you're seeing is a lot of movement, a lot of exchanges. You see sometimes Roman Josi will be in the middle of the ice in the bumper position. Other times he's back ripping one-timers. I love the fact that there's no set position. And yeah, we all want to see Tolvanen come in and rip a shot off the half wall. We want to see Granlin inside tight and down low working Johansson in the bumper position and Duchesne on the half wall. But when they change and kind of change the narrative as a defensive player, as a penalty killer, I'm looking at it going, I don't know what to do right now. This is they changed it up, and I'm not sure who to cover. And so that becomes unpredictable, and that movement is getting them chances, and then they have guys that are finishing right now.
Is that sort of the rule in your mind, how sort of you have to find the balance between structure and freedom?
Yeah.
And it's not easy?
Yeah. It isn't easy because, you know, it's like, how do you do a power play? Okay, you go stand there, and we'll pass it around and shoot. You know, like, that's you know, the average fan says that's what you do. And then you get a penalty kill that stops it. Well, how do you change it? You got to change the narrative. You got to do something different. And so that's where but it is a balance, and I think they've found that right now. It looks good. Every time, even when they don't score, it's looking good, which is, you know, fun to watch after a couple of years where it really hasn't been fun.
Hal, last thing for you here. Obviously, we all love Pete Weber and wish him the best in getting back and feeling better, but you had a little play-by-play the other night against Arizona. You even got a goal call in there. I got to tell you, it was pretty good. You've been practicing?
No. No, I never want that again. I miss my boy, and I need him to come back. He's it's not the same without him. It was cool. Rick Teckham jumped in, and I mean, he just went in the Hall of Fame, and then he's jumping on the radio with me. It was pretty cool, but just an absolute pro, just nailed it. It was kind of awesome that, you know, I've been with Pete Weber just best of all time for so long, and then I got this other guy, a Hall of Famer, jumping in with me. So it was fun, but I'm going to leave the goal calls to the pros. Let those guys handle it.
Reds radio analyst Hal Gill has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Joins us every Thursday at 9:30. Skillsy, appreciate you, brother. Have fun in Montreal.
All right. I'll try to behave myself. Thanks, guys.
We'll chat with you a little bit later. Hal Gill. Legendary, ladies and gentlemen.
No need to chuck bags if you're not like multiple days in this, right? You can,
yeah, you gently,
camp out,
man.
You can just like carefully place the bag in the room.
Yeah.
Fix your hair, you know, put on a new
shirt.
Put a coat
on and going outside.
12 straight hours at the bar, you know? If you want.
It's an option.
Yeah, it's there for you.
By the way, the Nashville Predators, number 5 in the league right now on the power play. 26.2%, number 5. Now, Edmonton's still at an outrageous number, 42.6.
My God.
St. Louis is at 30, Dallas at 28.6, Anaheim 27.8. But Predators, 26.2%, number 5 in the league on the power play. What do you think of that, Joe Rexroad?
That's a long way from Ving being able to use those Simpsons gifts. What is he doing? Is he okay? We forgot to ask him yesterday. That's got to be serious withdrawal for him. Because it's top 10, right? Top 10, and he can't touch it.
Right now, their top 10 status, not in much danger at the moment, unless they hit a big slump.
Wow. Who would have thunk it? It is amazing. And to my untrained eye, you know, I think I like how Hal described it there, but they move. I mean, you think back to a couple of years ago when it was so – it just felt like exactly what he just said. You go here, ding, ding, ding. Subban rips one from the point.
It's totally stagnant.
Yeah, and now it's – It is fun to watch.
We'll come back. We'll react to Hal Gill. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Hal Gill for joining us in the last segment. Interested to see how the Predators respond coming up on Saturday. We'll have more on that tomorrow when Terry Crisp joins us on the show at 8:30. Joe Rexford, you look befuddled over there.
Well, I'm going to go to the text line, okay, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. First of all, and please put your names on these so I can give you credit. But this is from like the opening of the show at 6:07 a.m. Oh, my goodness, I'm dying this morning. I'll never hear his opening theme song the same, LMAO. This is Jared's, you know, Jared. Oh, yeah. Stillman and Company's softcore porn theme song that needs to change immediately. But also has later now has an idea here for the Titans. Olympian Onslaught. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
A lot of it's alliteration is, and I get it, alliteration is the guiding factor for a lot of people on these, but it doesn't have to be that.
We're going back into like mythology, Titans, Olympics.
I guess, yeah, stuff. Yeah. That's probably what we're talking there. I don't. Yeah,
there you go. Probably is.
I don't hate the 300. I'm warming to it.
Hey, some of the other ones that have floated in, I'm warming to it as well.
It's all relative.
The Titans defense, the Steel Stanleys on there.
Ooh.
What do you think of that?
Sure.
You like that, Rob?
I
don't know.
This person has sent that multiple times.
Ugh.
The Steel Stanleys.
Ryan in Nashville texting in, the last time the Preds power play was this good, the power play coach was Hall of Famer Phil Housley. Shows what happens when you use a coach for a power play that isn't from a league below the AHL. That's coming from Ryan in Nashville. Well, Dan Lambert actually came from junior hockey. So,
other than that,
it is below good the point. AHL.
When's the last time, and I know that it's right at this moment, and it could very much change, but when's the last time the Preds had a top five power play?
I'd have to look. I mean, they might have had one with Housley in there. I can't remember.
That would surprise me.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to go look.
Good. It was good.
Yeah. I mean, they probably had one with Paul Kariya for sure. Power play is pretty good.
Yeah.
Kariya, Sullivan.
The crazy thing is, if you would have told me that right now, then I would have assumed like Tolvanen has like six power play goals right now. You know what I mean?
He has zero.
Yeah. He has one.
One total.
Overall on like the first play of the season.
Yes.
So I was wrong on my pick to click. But then again, we were all wrong on the night that the Preds get shut out.
That is true. That is true.
At some point, he's gonna score again, right?
We think so. I was asked my concern level on him yesterday. From Darren Donick and Chase to rank it 1 to 10. I went 8. Like, I'm pretty concerned about Tolvanen. And, you know, I know right now he's playing on a line with Tommy Novak and Michael McCarron, so like, I don't really know what's supposed to happen there offensively. But to your point, the power play didn't do much when he's been on it. I mean, he's been invisible out there way too much. I thought he played well against Arizona. I thought everybody played pretty well against Arizona. But, you know, Tolvanen gets a couple assists. Was noticeable in what he was doing, but I just there's another level he's going to have to get to.
And that's – so you're getting nothing from him, and you don't have Philip Forsberg.
Yeah.
And you're still doing well, although last time out, you were shut out. So you're going to need 28 to give you something.
What do you think of the matchup tonight on Thursday Night Football, the Patriots and the Falcons? Cordarrelle Patterson, been a big part of that offense this year for Atlanta. Who apparently is just all of a sudden turned into a running back for the Falcons. He is questionable for the game tonight. There's mute number two for Rex Road here on the program.
And this is a good
one to begin
day.
The segment, or begin the show, one to end the show.
Yeah, you're like right, it. First segment and last.
Yeah.
And it coincides with talking about the weird sex song that is Jared Stillman's theme song. Is that a coincidence?
Causation?
Maybe.
That's Joel frazzled.
Yes. Can Arthur Smith pull off the upset tonight and take down the New England Patriots, who have been playing some very, very good football as of late? Game is in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's in Atlanta, and you know how it is. I mean, just like last week, you know, the Ravens are going to get well at the expense of the Dolphins, and they didn't at all. I actually think this game can be better than a lot of people probably do, but Patterson, that status is very important. They don't have a lot of playmakers. What an interesting player he is. Really, he is such a physical running back and also still a receiver who can make big plays.
Well, when he played at Tennessee, I remember watching him and being like, this dude's an absolute freak. Like, he could stop and start on a dime. And, of course, you had him. You had Justin Hunter out there. Tyler Bray, who apparently was an NFL quarterback for a long time. Like, it's kind of amazing how good that offense was and how they did nothing under Derek Dooley. Just nothing.
Oh, there's way too much of the – wow, that guy's good in the NFL now. Yeah. Who knew at Tennessee that he could be good in the NFL?
Yeah. Patriots favored by 6.5 on this game on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the over-under at 47. So that Patriots defense. The Thursday night football games, it's hard for me to take the over. A lot of slop fest on Thursday night football.
Agree.
I would expect another one tonight.
Yeah, I would agree. Big one for Arthur Smith. Had a really big win in New Orleans. And then they went to Dallas.
Yeah.
Did not go well.
36-3 at the half last week for the Falcons against the Cowboys. At the half, 36-3. I'm sure Dean Pease has had a fun week. I've not seen any Dean Pease press conferences so far this week, but there have been some doozies out there.
Man, that one. I got to know who that was.
He was all over it.
And I don't remember. Like, he's like, what have you done? And Coach is like, well, I was actually Coach of the Year in whatever county. Yeah. Like, well, that's great. And then Dean Pease starts asking about coverages. I'm like, wow.
Oh, man. Matthew texting into the text line. Would it be crazy? How crazy would it be if the Patriots win 28-3 tonight? Just stick it to Atlanta one more time.
Or if Atlanta blows a 28-3 lead.
Yeah.
That's one of those where on that story, which is a good idea, like there's just no question, right? I mean that's a gimme. What is the Bears? I just want to know what the Bears is so I can enjoy thinking about it.
I don't know.
Oh, I guess Super Bowl against the Colts. Okay. I mean, dude, you got to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman.
I was about to say. Is that really it? I don't think so.
I forgot that Devin Hester had returned the opening kick for a TD, yeah. And they lost that game.
In the rain?
That was the only way. Yeah.
Well, it's got to be a double doink, right?
About.
Come on.
Double doink is a very strong contender. We've had some texts on the text on a double doink. Double doink's very good because that was a very good season for them. They were not supposed to lose that game.
And they did.
Sorry, Corey.
I'm not. Not sorry at all.
We share a disdain for the Bears.
Yeah, we do. I don't know. I only know a couple people that like the Bears, and they're both good people. So,
I mean, when
including Corey Curtis,
when the Bears, last year is, I guess, not a good example, but they've got people here.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, they drank Broadway dry one time, totally out of beer.
Is that right?
It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
And usually I would expect the Buffalo fans to do that. Yeah.
That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Change your song.